Thank you. We definitely feel your love, and we feel appreciated. We're so glad for the opportunity to come and minister among you, and we're excited for what's ahead. Great times are ahead for this church. In 2 weeks, I'm going to start a new series. I just wanted to give you a shameless plug to make sure you're here. It's called Conversations with Jesus. And it deals with the difficult conversations that Jesus had one-on-one with people. You know, when I was pastoring, if I said to somebody, if I saw them in the lobby or something, and I'd say, "Oh, I want to get together with you," a look of terror would come on their face, like, "Oh no," you know, either I did something wrong, or he's going to ask me to do something I don't want to do. And sometimes we have to have difficult conversations, right? Jesus engaged in some very pointed and important conversations with people one-on-one. And we're going to find out what those have to say to us, okay? So that starts in a couple weeks. But today, I'd like you to turn to Daniel, the book of Daniel, this amazing story of this wonderful, wonderful man of God, Daniel. How many of you, just by show of hands, you have found that everyone you meet on the internet is really full of integrity? You can believe everything that is said. I'm looking. Maybe the question wasn't clear. Or how many of you found that not everybody on the internet is full of integrity? There you go. Yeah. There's kind of a lack of integrity. It's like the wild, wild west out on the internet. And sometimes we brush into things that aren't true or people that aren't what they say they are. They lack integrity. Sometimes I sell stuff on Craigslist, and recently I put something up for sale on Craigslist, and immediately I got a response, and this person said, there's a lot of people on Craigslist that aren't trustworthy, and I need to make sure that you're not a robot, so please text me back this code. Now, I know about this scam. You do not ever... This is free of charge today. Do not ever text back a code to somebody that says, "Please send me this code," because they take your phone number and they use that and that code to do evil things. So I knew about that, and sometimes I got to tell you, I have this little evil thing that comes up in me, and I think, I'm going to mess with this person. So I did, this one person. I started messing with him a little bit, and I said, "Wait a second." I texted him back, "How do I know you're not a robot?" He texts back, "I'm not a robot." And I said, "Oh, yeah? Send me a DNA sample. And your social security number and your mother's maiden name." So it's kind of fun to mess with people like that. What I'm going to show you now was a real conversation that I had with a real person. Chris and I, all right, we have a friend went to our church. They moved away to Missouri. Her name is Karen. And we have been in contact a couple of times, and I got a direct message on Facebook from Karen, and she said something about, "Hey, how are you, Todd? You know, everything good?" And I wrote back, and I've got the clips for you from this, so you can see it. I wrote back, and I said, "I'm doing great." And she says to me, "Also doing great." And I'm going to read exactly how it's read. "Am also doing great. Life treating me pretty well right now. Thanks. Hope all is well with you. And how is the rest of the family? I saw your name on CNCS. Did someone a hold of you from them?" I said, "We are currently doing, we're doing well currently. We're serving as interim teaching, preaching pastors in Medford while they go through a pastoral search. Don't know what CNCS is." She responds. Karen responds, "It is Corporation of National Community Service to help people with money all over the world to take care of kids, house, pay rents, and maintain the standard of living for 2022. Have you not heard from them?" I think pretty much all of us have heard of the Corporation of National Community Service, right? So I said, "No, I haven't heard of them before." And Karen says, "Oh, really? I just got $100,000 from them, and I saw your name on the list. I think you should contact the online claiming agent in charge of the winning money. Did you know how to contact them?" So I said, "Wow, $100,000. Did you put that money toward your new house in Idaho? Now, Karen doesn't live in Idaho, but I thought, you know, why not? Did you put that toward your new house in Idaho? Karen doesn't seem to pick up on it, but she sends me an important video. And she says, this is real and legitimate, and I already got mine delivered to me by the FedEx delivery team. Just get in touch with them. And you click on the video, and it's a FedEx envelope with hundreds of $100 bills just spread out there. I mean, if that's not proof, folks, if that's not true, I don't know what could be. So I responded back, and I thought, okay, you know, we're going to end this. I said, I will let Karen know that you have hacked her Facebook account. Don't bother writing anymore. But Karen writes back, this is real me, and no one is hack. And I said, what? You can't even speak decent English. That was mean, wasn't it? But this person can't. And here's the response. Yes, I have a personal teacher now, and I am well speak a little on my own. Now, you would have thought that was the end. By the way, you got to note the time. This last thing was at 12:12 a.m. I know, I'm up in the middle of the night doing this, you know. 12:12 a.m., we're conversing, you know. I'm good news, I've got an English teacher. I can speak on my own now. The gig is up. We know this is not a real person. 7 hours later, I get another text from this person with a question mark. You know, are you still interested? No. How many of you have ever had somebody try to scam you? Oh, yeah. Yeah, integrity is a real concern. I know people who have been catfished. I won't bother explaining what that is, but it's a horrible thing to do to somebody, deceiving people. Maybe you've had someone tell you that something was real that you know wasn't. We got to go to Turkey, to Ephesus, and outside of the city of Ephesus, there are stands that are selling real fake watches. You can see in the picture here. I think we got a picture of them. You can buy real... They're not coming. Okay, that's okay. They have real fake Rolex watches, genuine fake Rolex. And there they are. There they are. They have no qualms about it. These are genuine fakes. Not. Don't know what you're getting other places, but these are the real fakes. Well, there's a battle for integrity, and that's what we're going to talk about today. The devil actually even tried to scam Jesus. When he went out into the desert and was out there with the devil, one of the temptations the devil presented to him was, he said, fall down and worship me, and I will give you all the nations of the earth. How could he give Jesus something that Jesus already had? He is, according to the Bible, the King of kings and Lord of lords, and the kingdoms of this world become the kingdoms of our Lord in Christ. But the devil's out to scam even Jesus, if he could. Perhaps you've been deeply hurt by someone who was not truthful or trustworthy. Maybe in business. Maybe in personal relationships. Maybe in a deep, emotionally personal relationship, you were hurt because of lack of integrity. Maybe you got hurt at work. Maybe you even got hurt in church. Or it's even possible that you were the one who did the hurting. Integrity, according to the scripture, is vital to who we are. We're called to be people of integrity. That's part of who we are. It's ingrained in who we are as Christians. The dictionary defines integrity as adherence to a moral and ethical principle, soundness of character, and honesty. It also means to be sound and unimpaired in perfect condition. So it's about a physical thing too, like an airplane wing having structural integrity, or the hull of a ship. To be a man or a woman of integrity in this world is actually refreshing, isn't it? when you find somebody you can trust, you go, boy, that's so great to see and to hear. But integrity is in short supply. The Apostle Paul actually prophesied about this. And, honey, can you hand me my Bible? It would be helpful, probably. Thank you, sweetheart. You don't have to turn to this, but you might want to at least mark it down in 2 Timothy chapter 6. The scripture says this. Paul says, but mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boastful, proud, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of the good, treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power, have nothing to do with them. They are the kind who worm their way into homes and gain control over weak-willed women who are loaded down with sins and are swayed by all kinds of evil desires. He says this is something that is going to be rampant in our world. And we value integrity. We look for it. We desire it. We desire integrity in the halls of government and in the seats of where our governments are run from. That's what we look for. I said to Chris, boy, right now, you know, we're old people, so we're very committed to Jeopardy and Wheel of Fortune, you know? And I said to Chris, every ad is another political ad. And I said to her, if all these people could do all the things they've promised, we would live in a utopian society. Because they promise us big things. They say, we're going to change everything. It's all going to be better if you just vote for us. We value leaders who are truthful in reporting what's really happening. We want people who don't play games with people's lives and do anything just to be reelected. We look for integrity in the business world, where somebody's word is their bond. They said they would do it, they're going to do it. Where a person's labor is rewarded fairly for what they have done. Where contracts are clear and that they are honored. We look for integrity in the church. And right from the very beginning, Satan attacked the church at that level of trying to disrupt its integrity. Ananias and Sapphira coming in and lying to the Holy Spirit. Yeah, we sold the property. Here's all the money. And Peter says, what caused you to think you could lie to the Holy Spirit? And since then, the church, through the world and through time, has had its own plague of integrity. We need integrity in our relationships and how we treat each other, to treat others with respect and love and honesty and forbearance, to protect the sanctity of marriage. These are issues of integrity. It's what sets us apart. Paul goes on to say that followers of Christ do not live like people of the world. Back to Timothy chapter 3, verse 10, he says, you, however, he's comparing what the world is like to what we're like. He says, the world may be going this way. He says, but you, however, know about my teaching, my way of life, my purpose, faith, patience, love, and endurance. Evil men and imposters will go from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and what you have become convinced of. Think of that for a moment. He says, that's the way the world may be. He says, but as for you, that includes all of us. As for us, we are not like this world. He says, because you know those from whom you have learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. No matter how corrupt the world may be, no matter what direction others may go, we have that as for you statement for our lives. Today we're going to actually see some secrets from the life of Daniel and how to live that life of integrity. Now, a little bit of historical background for you. We left off last time with Daniel and his three friends, with Nebuchadnezzar throwing Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into that fiery furnace. The king was so filled with pride, he would not accept that prophetic word about what was going to happen in the future. Now, Daniel continued on from that story forward. He served under 7 kings in Babylonia. 7. And he served for like 70 years ministering there. In Nebuchadnezzar, after Nebuchadnezzar, 5 kings came. One of them was Belshazzar. And you probably remember the story of Belshazzar, who was a son of Nebuchadnezzar, and he had a big drinking party one night, and he invited all of his nobles and important people over, and then he said, let's get the articles of the temple of Jerusalem and let's drink our booze out of those. And as they're having this wild drinking party and they're profaning and blaspheming in the name of the one true God, suddenly a hand appears on the wall and begins to write. We read this recently in our devotional time, and it says that his knees became weak and began to knock together. Belshazzar was terrified at what he saw. Imagine we've got this nice writing over here. What if it wasn't there, and suddenly a minute ago, a hand went up and started writing that? I think my knees would start to shake as well. He called for, guess who could tell him what that said? Daniel. Suddenly he needs Daniel, and Daniel comes, and the word's there. I don't have it in front of me, the rest of them. Meeny, meeny, tekel, parson. What does the words mean? It says, God has numbered the days of your kingdom and brought it to an end. You have been weighed in the balances and you have been found wanting. Your kingdom will be given now to the Medes and the Persians. While Belshazzar had been inside in this drinking party, outside the Persians were literally outside the gates of his city. And that very night they came in, stormed the place, and they killed Belshazzar. This began a new empire, the Persian Medo Empire, with a new king, Darius. Daniel positioned himself in that kingdom to be a servant for whatever God could use him for. And Daniel was vital to what was going to happen next in God's wonderful plan. Darius realized that the government that he was going to set up had a lot of corruption and graft that had to be dealt with. And so if you look at Daniel chapter 6, verse 1 and 2, you'll see what this king did. It pleased Darius to appoint 120 satraps to rule the kingdom with 3 administrators over them, one of whom was Daniel. The satraps were made accountable to them so that the king might not suffer loss. So Daniel was put, now he's at least 80 years old, he's put into this place, again, noticed for his integrity and his wisdom. Look at verse 3. Now Daniel so distinguished himself among the administrators and the satraps by his exceptional qualities that the king planned to set him over the whole kingdom. What Darius saw in Daniel was his character, his qualities. And he said, this is the man that I can trust. This is the kind of man I can put over others. This is the kind of man who can help rule so that this nation doesn't suffer loss. People are always looking for the man or woman of integrity. They will always rise to the surface. And he announced this plan, I'm going to put Daniel over everything. He did not participate with the graft and the dishonesty of the other administrators. Now, Chris and I have visited some countries where there are some pretty horrible things happening within the countries because of lack of integrity. We've been to countries where the police will stop people, shake them down, and take their money. It's actually happened to us. We've been in countries where civil servants extract money from the projects that are going on so that they can enrich themselves. Our tour guide told us, he said, all these big homes you see here, these giant homes, these are civil servants living on a small wage, but they have giant homes because when they're going to build an airport or they're going to build a road or a bridge, they get a contractor and then they say, for you to get the contract, you've got to give me 10% of it. And they become rich. And he says, and you don't want to drive over that bridge. Bribes are offered. Favors are given. We have one of our missionaries that I imagine you're acquainted with and support. I don't want to say because we're on the internet and give him trouble, but he's in a nation where he is constantly facing request for bribes from the officials in order for him to get his projects going forward. And he stands firm and he says, I will never give in to them. I will never give them a bribe. I will never give them a penny. I will stand firm. And you know what? God honors him and he keeps getting his permits. Now, Daniel was going to ruin the plans of these other officials who were looking forward to getting rich on what was happening in that country. Look at verse number 4. The administrators and the satraps tried to find grounds for charges against Daniel in his conduct in governmental affairs, but they were unable to do so. They could find no corruption in him because he was trustworthy and neither corrupt nor negligent. This man of character who would keep his integrity, they could find nothing wrong with him. The enemy was calculating and deceitful, though. So an evil plan was made in order to try to discredit Daniel. Let's turn to that one. This is in Daniel chapter 6, verse 7. It says there that the royal administrators, prefects, and satraps, and advisors, and governors have all agreed that the king should issue an edict and enforce the decree that anyone who prays to any god or man during the next 30 days, except to you, O king, shall be thrown into the lion's den. Now, this whole thing was dishonest and it was illegal because Daniel was in charge of all of these leaders. They met behind his back and they said, let's draw up a law that is targeted toward Daniel that says anybody who prays to any god other than the king will go into the lion's den. This played to the king's pride and to his ego. He should have been a smarter man than that, but he went ahead and signed the decree. Now, when motivation came to give up on his good character, Daniel did not change. Every one of us will have motivations from time to time to come into lapses of integrity. Look at verse number 10. It says, now when Daniel learned that the decree had been published, he went home to his upstairs room where the windows opened toward Jerusalem. Three times a day he got down on his knees, prayed, giving thanks to his God just as he had done before. When the pressure came and integrity was under attack, he did not change one thing. That's what true integrity does. You can write this down. Rationalization is the enemy of integrity. He could have rationalized this away. Well, God's put me in this important place, and if I get thrown into the lion's den, they won't have me here anymore, and they need me, so I should probably not pray for the next 30 days. He could have said to himself, it's only 30 days. I can not pray for 30 days. It's not going to make a difference. I can start in 31 days. He could have said to himself, I can do it secretly. Instead of like I always do where I open the windows and I face toward Jerusalem and pray in that way, I could do it secretly. I can keep the windows shut. I can get into an inner room where nobody will see. But he did not rationalize any of these things. Integrity is lost when pressure or expediency or personal gain alters our commitment. Somebody once said, or I've often said it to other people, that character is what you are when nobody's looking. But I'd like to add something. Often, character is what you are when everybody's looking. When people are there to examine, are you consistent? Are you who you said you are? Are you really a follower of Jesus or not? And when it came to this matter of maintaining his integrity, Daniel turned to God. Verse number 11, these men came, windows are open. It's one of those times when Daniel prayed and they found him praying. And what was the subject of his prayer? He was asking God for help. He was asking God for help. Daniel understood that maintaining his integrity was vital for this time in history. He knew, by the way, if you read Daniel completely, you'll see that Daniel knew about the prophecies of Jeremiah, that the end times were being prophesied. Daniel wanted to know more about that. He wanted God to give him further revelation, and it was important for even you and I today what Daniel discovered. and the answers that God brought into his life made a difference for Israel. It made a difference for the people to go back to Jerusalem. It made a difference for the coming of the Messiah. It made a difference for our salvation. So Daniel's integrity was not something to be toyed with. It mattered. And I want you to hear something today. Your stand for Jesus, your stand for the things of God. You may think, I'm a small person in a big group. I'm a little cog in a big machine. What if I have a little lapse, it doesn't make a difference. Oh, it makes a huge difference. You do not know how your integrity and its standing will affect others around you, people who will follow after you, people who are looking to you, people who are even yet to be born. Your integrity makes a difference. And Daniel made that choice that I'll pay the price because I know my life makes a difference. We all know the story. We've all seen it on the flannel graphs if we're old enough to that, or you've seen it in picture books or Bible stories, how they took Daniel and they threw him into that lion's den. And through the night, God sent an angel. And it says in verse number 22, Daniel says, the king, he comes in the morning, Daniel, was your God able to save you? And Daniel answers him. He says, my God sent his angel and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found, look at this, innocent in his sight. And I have never done anything wrong before you, O king. What a statement to be able to make. I never did anything wrong. I have been found innocent. And look at the outcome. Verse 28. So Daniel prospered. Look at that. So Daniel prospered during the reign of Darius and during the reign of Cyrus the Persian. Because of his integrity, Daniel prospered. The lie of the enemy is, go ahead and have a lapse. Give in. Be flexible on this, and it'll be better for you. You'll prosper. But God says, no, you remain faithful, and I'll make you prosper. Daniel's a great example of integrity, but let's talk about how that can affect you and me today. The first principle I want you to write down is this: integrity is not optional. It's not an optional issue. In 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 12, Paul writes to the church and he says this: it's required in stewards that one be found faithful. Integrity in our lives, we're stewards of the gospel, we're stewards for the things of God. It's required that we are faithful. In a world of compromise, in a world where character is under assault, we are to be people of great moral excellence. No bending or giving in to the things around us. We're called to shine like a light in a dark place, to make a difference in a world where everybody else is giving in. The second principle I want you to write down is this: God's power upholds the person committed to integrity. When you fully commit your ways to him, he fully commits his power to you. And when you commit yourself to him, you don't stand alone. Like all these other stories we've seen in Daniel, here in the lion's den, we see it again. God literally sent an angel to shut the mouths of those lions. You read the book of Daniel, there is a lot of spiritual warfare there. A lot. You got angels battling demons in order to get an answer to prayer through. You have evil rulers combating those who want to stand up for righteousness. There's corruption in every corner. Yet there was a man who stood for God, and God honored him, and it made a difference forever. In Ephesians, again, if you want to, at least you can jot down this scripture, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10 through 12, the Bible speaks about the spiritual warfare that we're in. Paul says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you may take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in heavenly realms. You and I are locked in a spiritual battle, and we are called to put on that full armor. And when we put on that armor, power comes into our lives. There's a rather famous scripture found in Isaiah chapter 59:19 that most Christians, if they've been around for a while, can quote. And it says this: when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. How many of you have ever heard that scripture and you find it comforting? It is. It's powerful. But did you know that when the Bible was penned, when it was written down without punctuation? It's just a flowing set of words. And someone at some point put the comma in where we see it on the screen now. When the enemy comes in like a flood, comma, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Many Hebrew scholars agree it should read like this. Go to the next slide. When the enemy comes in, can you go to that next slide for me? I'll just read it. When the enemy comes in, comma, like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord comes in and sets up a standard against him. It's not the enemy that has the overwhelming flood. It's the Spirit of God that is the overwhelming flood. And when the enemy comes in, we don't have to think, well, I'm going to hang on and hope for the best. I'll probably be swept away, but I'll do it for Jesus. Instead, we can look at it like this. When the enemy comes in, I'm calling out on God because he's going to send his Spirit in a flood, and the enemy does not have a chance against that. Praise God. His power is overwhelming. The Lord is actually looking for people who will take this stand. I'm not saying it because that kind of stand is rare. I'm just saying that's the kind of people that he seeks. In 2 Chronicles 16:19, the Bible says, the eyes of the Lord range throughout the earth to strengthen those whose hearts are fully committed to him. God is scanning the world. And he's picking out people. He's saying, there they are. The people who are fully committed to me, those are the ones I'm about to use in a great way. You know, some people who are hearing this message today are at a very important crossroad. You might be at a place of decision in your life right now where integrity is at risk. It might be that you've grown tired, you've grown weary. It might be that the temptations are so strong. It might be that the rewards of giving in seem great. And I just want to say to every person who's at a crossroad, a time of decision, that this is the time not to grow weak-kneed. This isn't the time to get wobbly. This is the time to stand up and say, I know who I have believed, and I am confident that he is able to keep that which I've committed to him against that day. I know he is going to be with me. And at this crossroad moment for you, this is a time to see God prosper you in every way because you take that stand. It doesn't mean there's not a scary moment. I don't think it was not scary when you get thrown into a den of lions. I'm sure that that's terrifying. But on the other side of it, Daniel's able to say, he sent his angel. He sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of those lions. Some of you may be at a crossroad, not because your integrity, you're at a question of, will I keep my integrity? Some of you may be at a crossroad because you say, I have fallen into loss of integrity. You might be in an involvement right now that you say, this is not what God has for me. I'm not running my business with integrity. I'm not in relationship integrity with a man or a woman. My integrity at my job, or the integrity with the people that I oversee or the business I own, my integrity needs to be bolstered. I need a turnaround. You're at a crossroad as well. God will always honor and bless and keep the man or woman with integrity. Those who are in this crossroad at this spiritual battle make these statements. I will put God's purpose for my life ahead of my temporary comfort or my temporary needs. I will be faithful to the house of God. I will be faithful with his holy tithe. I will be faithful in my ministry. Because just at that moment of it would be easier to go some other direction or to lower the standard is about a breakthrough for God to do something amazing. people of integrity, say, I will keep a growing relationship with the Lord. I will not neglect His word. I will be a person of prayer. People of integrity face the moral battles and say, I'm going to overcome through the power of the Holy Spirit. People of integrity maintain great relationships. They speak only encouraging, uplifting things to others and about others. They make a commitment to humble themselves before their family and prayerfully serve others. Today I've got on your handout a fill-in for you, and this is how we're going to conclude today. There's a question on the back of that. It says, where does your battle lie? Where is your integrity battle today? And I did it on your own personal piece of paper because you don't have to raise your hand and say, here's my integrity issue. You don't have to come and tell somebody. I want you to, between you and the Holy Spirit, write down. And if you didn't get a handout, just grab something. Tap it in your phone. Do something. My battle for integrity right now is this. Write it down. And now we're going to take a moment. We're going to pray. We're going to hold that up before the Lord and say, I will not give in this battle. Be it sexual, financial, relational, spiritual. I will not let my integrity give in. Take a second and write it down. He's not the coach at Oregon anymore, but Chip Kelly did something a few years ago that impressed me. He put up banners around where the players were in their locker rooms, and it was just a three-word statement. Win the day. He told his players, I don't want you to think you got to go out and win the whole season. And he says, even if it's a practice day, he says, I want you to win today. I want you to be your best today. Win this day. And then tomorrow we're going to win tomorrow. And next week, and the next game, we're going to win that day. We're going to get through this season by winning the day. You're going to get through the season in your life today by partnering with Christ and saying, today I'm going to trust you to help me win the day. Back in Springfield, we had a very large ministry to addicts. And one of the things that they taught addicts in that program was, we're not asking you to remain clean and sober forever. We're challenging you to be clean and sober today. And then tomorrow, we're going to do it again. And the next day, and the next day, and the next day. I'm challenging you today to be a person of integrity today. Today. And win this day through Jesus Christ. Would you stand with me? You've written down that area of the integrity battle for your life. And I want you to hold that piece of paper in your hand, and I want you to hold it up in your heart before God with me right now. And I want you to pray. Would you shut your eyes with me today and pray? Lord, it's my desire today to be like Daniel, who will not take the path of expediency, who will not hide because I can just do it for a little while and then it'll all be okay. I will not be the one who shrinks back. Instead, I'm going to believe that the Holy Spirit is going to come in like a flood in my life, and He's going to today give me the power to win today. Today He's going to give me the power to overcome temptation. Today He's going to give me the power to overcome my addictions. Today He's going to give me the power to be a man or a woman or a student of integrity. Holy Spirit, I offer myself to You. Prosper me in what I do, not because I have engineered things, but because I am obedient to You. And I trust You to uphold my cause. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read you one last scripture today. One of the most, I think, exciting and promising things from the Bible. It's from Psalm 26. Then we're going to worship the Lord together. And remain standing when we're done for worship. David said this, "Declare me innocent, O Lord, for I have acted with integrity. I have trusted in the Lord without wavering. Test my motives and my heart, for I am always aware of your unfailing love, and I have lived according to your truth. I come to your altar, O Lord, singing a song of thanksgiving and telling of all your wonders. I love your sanctuary, Lord, the place where your glorious presence dwells. I live with integrity, so redeem me and show me your mercy. Now I stand on solid ground, and I will publicly praise the Lord." You are standing on solid ground today. Can you praise him right now? Will you just lift that up and say, "Thank you, Lord, because of you in my life, I'm standing on solid ground, and you're making me into that person." Amen. God bless you.